and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yes, we really, we've only got four of us here out of, so we've got, so we're missing Bo and Rick, too?
Yep.
Meredith and Vera. Okay. Let's get, old business, the minutes, I guess we don't really have a...
We have a quorum.
We don't really have a quorum here, too.
Technically, yeah, you'd have to have five.
Right. I mean, we could table the September minutes till the next meeting, I guess.
For the next meeting.
Do that.
But you could go over any corrections anybody sees.
Yeah. Did everybody get a chance to take a look at it?
Yeah, I looked, I didn't see it.
I didn't see anything either. So, Tom, did you see anything?
No.
Okay, I guess we'll just push those off to the next meeting, then. I guess, well, why don't we go ahead and do...
This stuff.
Let's go ahead and do the report from the Secretary of State.
We can do everything, yes, we can.
We can cover all this stuff.
We can't vote where it counts.
Can we vote to close the meeting?
No.
That's right. Okay, Greg?
Get us started? Yeah, sure. So we don't have, you know, we met 2 months ago, so we don't have any new quarterly data to share. I think we probably should by the next time we all get together. But I wanted to... I'm not going to steal your thunder here, I hope, Donnie. We just started looking back at 10 years. Normally when we give these presentations, we give the past 3 years of charitable gaming data from Colorado, and we decided to expand our look a little bit just to give a new view on this. Donnie, you'll talk a lot more about this later, so I won't spend too much time on it. The trends I think that you see over the 10 years are very similar to a lot of what we see over 3 years, and that's that Bingo and poll tabs especially have been dropping over time pretty consistently, whereas raffles have, you can't see it just because of the scale as well here, but raffles have been going up over time in the same way that bingo and poll tab have been going down. And then this is just overall gross revenue, which is on the right axis, and then the number of licensees on the left axis. And to me, that was, having only been here for about a year and a half or so, that was a pretty surprising drop to see, to go from close to 1,450 licensees down to this year we're actually a little bit higher, but right around 1,225, 1,230. So that's, again, just sort of trends that I think we're all familiar with. What I wanted this to lead to, though, is we're actually pretty excited about a new analytical system that we have started kind of putting up and running in the office, which is called Instant Atlas. Instant Atlas is a really cool, powerful program that you can plug sort of basic spreadsheet data into and transfer that data onto maps. So if you look up at the example here, this is a map actually from the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, on the growth of diabetes in Colorado. So the cool thing about this, there are a couple of things. First of all, we have bingo raffle data at the county level for the 10 years going back that you just saw there, and a little bit further even. And so this tool will allow us not only to see what's happening in Colorado as a whole, but to see what's happening by county. So, we can look at rural versus urban counties, Western Slope versus Front Range. Okay. So we're in the very beginning stages of this right now. Our elections division is actually the one that's sort of taking this forward initially. They discovered they have a lot of uses for it on kind of compliance with some of their initiatives. So we are, as they begin to develop that expertise, we'll start plugging our data into that and see how we can use it. And I just wanted to do a quick little sort of illustration here. So the CDC has put in data on Colorado county level data from 2004 to 2010. So if you hit this little play button, you can see over time, it doesn't change too much to begin with. Then you can see, diabetes, I guess, starts to become more prevalent throughout the state. And then by 2010, it's in a lot of the sort of Front Range counties. So that's the kind of thing that we'll be able to look at for gross revenue for licensees. We'll be able to split it out between bingo, raffles, poll tabs, be able to look at how the licensee numbers in general have evolved. So anyway, just a pretty cool tool. I would imagine it'll be a bit of time before we get to anything that looks like this, because again, we're just trying to develop our expertise internally. But we'll get there eventually, and we'll certainly keep you apprised of what we have. And this will probably be something, if we're able to develop a good tool, something that we'll have available on our website, so folks can take a look at it, that sort of thing. So no, that's sort of the highlight, I think, of the financial data this time around.
Good idea.
Yeah, it's really good. Rules? Is that it for financial?
That's it.
Rules hearing, adoption of the rules. Are you doing that, Greg? Or?
Yeah,
that'll
no.
Be Shannon.
Or Shannon? Okay.
Yeah. So as you know, the rules hearing was on October 2nd. Those rules were adopted on the 17th of October. They're posted on our website. One caveat to notice is there is a delayed effective date for these rules of January 1 because the House bill does not go into effect till then. So none of these will be in effect until January 1, but they are being worked into the games manager's online training. That will be be up January 1, as well as the amended rule book, which will have it, instead of being broken out just with what was changed, it will all be internalized into that. So that will be up on the website as of January 1, too. And we're also under development of the new forms for the progressive raffles. Those will be up on the website January. Well, hopefully a little bit earlier than that so people can take a look at them. But they're just daily forms, like your progressive bingo forms with a little modification. So that way you'll have time to ask questions.
Yeah. Was there anything from the hearing that you all changed at all, or was it?
Really, everything that went up at the hearing was what went into the rule. We didn't change anything.
Okay. All right. Anybody have any questions? Yeah, I didn't get a chance to look at these. I want to look at those again too. How does that typically work? So with these rules, are you going to, I guess, because it's pretty expensive for the Secretary of State to issue out. I mean, everything just goes online now, right? People want copies of the rules regularly.
If they want a physical copy, we will, because we do provide them in Games Manager, the physical classes too.
Sure.
So we will get some printed if people want a physical copy. But as of January 1, we'll have it up on the web also in that booklet form.
Sure.
I think it's broken out into the Constitution, statutes, and rules, and
right.
Then there's the whole book.
Right.
We'll do the same thing. We'll
update
all of that.
Okay.
So you can look at whatever section you want, print out whatever section, or contact us. We can mail.
Okay. Are there any scheduled in the next 2 months? Any scheduled games manager training?
Just had one.
There's one December 7th in Northern Colorado.
So then, how will they do that? Whoever's training that? They...
Darlene will probably just say, you know, please be aware that as of January 1, there will be a new rules and regs available with the updated data.
Okay.
I think we're just going to inform people of it right then. We're not going to start teaching it because, again, it's not effective
sure.
until January 1. But
right.
They're working it into the live games manager's training, too.
Okay. Okay.
So the games manager's training handbook will have the references also and the new forms.
Okay. Anything else? Any questions? Anybody? Okay. Marketing toolkit.
Shannon and I will play some microphone tennis back and forth
okay.
here. I'm going to handle this. So we just wanted to talk really briefly about a project that we're very excited about, and that's we're calling it the Bingo Marketing Toolkit. If a lot of you folks, I think, were probably in the room when John Runge gave the presentation about his study on the bingo market in Colorado, and he made a number of recommendations. We've been working since then, and we'll continue to work on hitting some of the recommendations that he made for, you know, improving kind of the landscape in which bingo and raffle, charitable gaming in general, work in Colorado. The marketing toolkit we see as a really big step in that direction. One of the things that he found when he interviewed both licensees, hall owners, when he interviewed players and potential players, was that on the licensee side, a lot of licensees, you know, they're run by volunteers without a lot of extra time, who don't necessarily have marketing experience. So they're not really sure how to market their games effectively, how to first of all get the word out that bingo is an entertainment option, that it can be a very fun entertainment option, and, you know, maybe most importantly, that if you play bingo, you're supporting, you know, a local organization that does good work in your community. And then on the player side, there is a real lack of awareness of that, first of all, of bingo in general, but also that bingo was a charitable game as opposed to other types of gaming. So this marketing toolkit that we'd like to put together is going to build on what the John Runge study found, and it will do a bit of additional market research as well. The point of it is it's going to be a very concise, it'll be both printed and available online, but a concise resource where you can go to. It'll give you some tips on how to market your game. It'll give you some examples of what other organizations have done that have been really successful, how they've... The example that comes to mind is there's a radio station up in Crested Butte that's been very good at local marketing, sort of building support around their radio station, around their bingo games. You may have seen that success story. Yeah, it's a great, really great story. So providing licensees, again, who have very little time to sort of think through this whole, how do I get my game out there, how to think about marketing myself, giving them some really quick tips, some ideas from other folks on how to do that. And so we're sort of in the final stages right now of figuring out the partner that we'll be working with. And then over the next several months, we'll be putting this together. You know, members of the board, members in the audience, we may very well be getting in contact with you to do some similar sort of outreach to figure out if there are some other success stories out there that we could be using, or other ideas on, you know, how you've marketed your game. So just want to make you all aware of that, and we'll, of course, be in communication in the future. Dan, you have a question?
I was going to say, in the a few years ago when they used to have the bingo convention in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. went a few times, and there was some classes, and somebody gave presentations on how to do promotions for your game to improve them, and they were pretty good. I don't know what I've done with all the paperwork, but we tried a lot of those. Some were legal, and some were not from Colorado.
Yeah.
I can't remember the guy's name. Can anybody remember that guy's name that did that?
I'd have to look. I think we've been in touch with him. He's based in Washington. Does that
sound
probably.
Right? Right. That sounds right, yeah. Okay, so you know about that.
There's a research component of what we're asking our vendor to do.
Yeah.
That's going to be part of it. We want to reach out, so that's a good suggestion.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I think this is great because I think it's so important. It's so hard. I mean, owning a hall and working with the charities, it's real hard to talk to the charities and try to explain to them how to market themselves also to coincide with what we try to do as a hall. And if everybody's doing it, it's just going to make it so much more successful.
Right. I agree.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, I think so.
Good. Dilsey, did you have a question? I thought you may.
No.
Okay. No. Okay. All right, I think that's all I have to say on that. Well, again, we'll keep you updated.
I was afraid to hit the ball with Shannon, where she's take care of herself. If you have any questions in the audience about all that,
on the marketing?
Okay. That's going almost too fast. You slow it down. the renewals reminder, licensing.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there because group, you know, how many times have the group gotten to the end of the year and, oh my God, we got a game tomorrow?
Yeah,
and so just be aware that we are relicensing now for your organization. If you play in a hall, you might want to go ahead and send your application in. As long as you've got your third quarter in, there shouldn't be any issues. We've started issuing Friday. I think we got like 50 so far that we've got out there. So, you know, just check and make sure it's current.
And the renewal is what, $100?
It's $100 now. It went back up. You know, check the one on the wall in the in the hall or whatever. But we should be able to, if you can get it to us in the next week, it doesn't take more than 7 to 10 working days to get it back. So.
Great. The miscellaneous items. I know last meeting we talked about, I think it was Meredith that brought it up, about the clarification on, getting some clarification on coupon.
Right. And I think Dan brought something up, and I think we misinformed you. What you brought up that you do, where the hall owner offers a coupon and pays the group back if that coupon's brought up, as long as you pay them back for the price of that card that evening so they can ring it in just like a normal, that's fine. Now it's different for licensees, and so what we've decided is, looking at this and knowing there is confusion about who can offer what, we're going to come up with kind of like the raffle pamphlet that we have of how to design a raffle ticket, clarifications on who can and what's legal as far as coupons, both for the hall and the licensee. We'll get that out probably. I've got a meeting tomorrow. We've got it preliminarily set up. And we'll put that out. We'll send you a notification when it's out there as a resource of what you can and can't do as far as coupons are concerned, and probably have that up in the next few weeks, I think. So we'll put it, and then we'll put it in the newsletter, probably send out an email blast to all you guys and provide that. So hopefully there'll be a little more clarification, but right now what you described is fine.
Okay.
I think that'll be great, because I mean, I know we've talked about this, you can sort of blue in the face sometimes, but the, you know, it's hard, and we kind of talked about this a little yesterday, but seeing the casinos with all the offers they do and what we can't do is really frustrating.
Right, and it's so great, you know, back and forth, who can do what, so we're hoping this helps a little bit, and then if anyone has questions.
These coupons that you're mentioning, would they be like for $5 off or for a free game, or?
Well, that's the problem, because licensees can't give a free game. You have to charge the amount. But if the hall owner wants to pay the group, if there's a $5 coupon, say, and somebody brings that in, and the hall has an agreement with the licensees that once one of those coupons is presented, they'll give you, the group, the $5. So you're still charging the same amount, but the person's getting the discount because they had the coupon. The hall's still going, or the group's still going to make the same amount of money that they always did. So that's one thing that Dan's hall will offer sometimes, or other halls too. I've heard other ones that have done it. So.
And this was a, you know, sticky enough situation before the internet and before online coupons, and, you know, now there are Groupons and Living Socials, and that kind of blurs the lines even more. And so the conversation that we had, excuse me, during our last meeting, I think really highlighted for us that we need to put some clear guidance out there. Because there are just a lot of sort of little nitpicky issues I think you need to think about. So
not all be in this pamphlet.
Yes, it should tell you who can and can't do what. And then again, if we miss something or there's another question, just give us a call.
Yeah. Okay. Great. All right. Also, in the last, I just had this note, and that's why I put that on there. But the over $500 winners paid by cash or check. Just a clarification on that for.
Yeah, and I think the question was about whether, if a prize is over $500, do you always have to pay by check, or is it just in certain circumstances? And so the rules, if you look at rule 9.3.3, say that it's just for progressive pull tabs and progressive bingo prizes. So if you have a bingo prize or if you have a pull tab prize over $500, you're not required to pay by check. So that, I think that was a clarification that folks were looking for.
Right. So it's for progressive only?
Progressive pull tab and progressive bingo. Yes.
What are your thoughts on increasing that at some point? So, because the goal...
Increasing what?
Well, the amount before they have to write a check, where they can pay out more cash.
They can... He said it's just progressives.
No, but I'm saying even for progressives, though, to pay out. It's because we're trying to keep as much cash in the bingo hall, so hopefully a player will spend that money, you know, that money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know, unless...
Well, that, I guess the question would be for the senator. So, a lot of times, if you gave them a check for... They won the progressive for, say, $10,500. Can you write them a check for $10,000 and give them $500 in cash? And explain it on your, your quarterly report.
Yeah.
I have to look at the exact wording on the wall.
Yeah.
If they can do that, then that keeps money in for people to spend on. Absolutely. And they would spend some of that money on pickles or win some bar.
Yeah, no, that's the goal. Yeah, understood. I think, as I read through the rule, I think that sort of interpretation would be tough to allow for that sort of thing as it stands now. I mean, it's pretty straightforward that you have to pay by check.
Right.
So, but to Donnie's question, you know, if that's something that we look at changing in the future, I mean, we'll be going through more rulemaking processes and certainly would.
I misunderstood you. So it's the check. I forgot about that, but you're right. You have to pay a check for the progressive of the entire amount.
Yep. So, yeah, exactly.
I didn't see that rule. I don't know what it says.
It is. I remember it's there.
It's 9.3.3.
All progressive jackpot, bingo, and progressive pull tab prizes in excess of $500 must be paid by check.
9.3.3. Yeah, so it is up to 500. Okay.
Yeah.
In excess of $500. Right. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Yeah, it says the prize exceeds $500.
Yeah. And, when I looked at that, I didn't think of that angle. Again, though, I think as the rule stands now, it'd be tough to allow for that.
Yeah.
Okay. But, some people would like that. Some groups would like that just because it makes it easier for people to have cash to spend.
Yeah.
Well, some groups, does it have to be done? Here's the question where you get technical. Does it have to be one check, or can it be two checks or three checks? Where I'm going with that is, if it's $10,500, they wrote one check for $500, one check for $10,000, can the person cash the $500 check with the group?
Yeah, but
to get
First of all, they'd have to say...
I'm telling you, this stuff can happen. It's not sneaky, but this stuff happens, I'm telling you.
No, it does, I know.
Is it two checks okay, and if it is, they could cash that other check for $500.
There's still an audit trail on it.
Which I think is the piece of the rule, why the rule is there.
Right,
yeah.
Sure.
That's another good question. I'd want to talk to our investigators.
Yeah, you guys got some things to
look into.
I mean, not a huge issue, but he's giving us homework.
But at least they'd have to report it because it is a check.
Right. Yeah, it was cash back, and it would be a withdrawal.
Because it's hard to cash $10,500.
Just to be totally clear, if there's a Progressive Bingo payout, and there's tons of winners, and each payout is $499, that can be paid in cash?
I believe
so, yes.
I think that's what Larry had said. If there were two winners and it was split, right, because each winner received...
If it's under 500, yeah.
Right.
Right, because that was the total value of their prize.
Okay.
So I think in that instance, that's okay. But the other stuff we'll have to look at and see.
Yeah, it's possible with the way you did it the last time that you could do that.
Yeah. It's very possible.
It could be 500
and below.
Right.
Or above.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Any other questions on that?
You're saying it's 500 even?
Yeah.
Right.
I can pay in cash?
Correct.
Right.
So 501, I have to pay by check. 500 even, I have to pay cash.
The other thing is you might want to make it the same as the IRS, you know, like the pickle is $600.
Oh, and you have 599.
You have to give them a $599 is okay, but $600 is you have to give them a W-2G and then $1,200 for bingo.
Or the $1,199.
You don't have to give
right.
them. Right. So. I don't know if that ties in or not, but it's possible.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I might streamline it though. You're right.
Then it's all different reporting agencies.
Yeah, there's a number of groups who do Progressive using like in the same night five gains of $11.99 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That way they don't have to do the tax thing.
Yeah. Interesting.
I just need to clarify something. You mentioned that was the Progressive poll tabs. What about the new poll tabs that have come out recently that pay $5.99? Do you have to write a check for those?
They're just regular pull tabs?
They're just regular pull tabs.
Yeah, regular pull tabs, they don't fall under that rule.
Okay.
This is all just Progressive.
Just Progressive.
And Progressive pull tabs only. That's it.
Yeah.
No, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why don't we move on to open forum from the audience? And if you could, if anybody has any questions or anything like that, please state your name and who you're with. Okay. Feel free to ask.
Do you want it on the microphone?
Yeah. It's okay. We'll pass the microphone if anything.
Okay, great. Okay. Anyone?
Nobody wants to talk.
There might be some after the 2014 legislation.
So. We'll keep the microphone.
And the other thing, we can kind of leave this all with questions during this. Okay. Well, the Colorado industry income. I talked about it last meeting. We didn't really, I wasn't able to put it together, but I just think it's really important to get a good feel on what's going on in Colorado. So thanks to Secretary of State, put all the numbers together for everything bingo divided out. And Greg, you can probably start and cover that. And then I can kind of get into the casino gaming and lottery and multi, you know, the Mega Ball and the Powerball and things like that afterwards. But Greg, I don't know if you want to.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think it was basically what I showed up on those PowerPoint slides. If you look at the top of the page where the header is Bingo SOS, you can see we split it into three types of games. You move across from 2003 to 2012. Those, I mean, you can look at those numbers. You can see what the trends are. But then those last two columns there show you what the change has been over time, both in dollar amounts and in percentage. So for example, Bingo looks like it's gone down by about 22.5 million. Which is about, it's gone down by about a third over those 10 years. If you look at raffles, again, the picture is quite the opposite. It's about 6.6 million that it's gone up, and that's almost a, you know, twofold or a one-fold increase, I guess. It's gone up by 91% in those 10 years. So Yeah, I mean, I think the numbers are fairly, are exactly what we saw before.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's how I was looking.
Yeah, are you also keeping totals of number of players also?
Yeah.
To play, you do have that.
We do on our quarterlies. It's not something at least since I've been here, that we've really looked at. But
for gross totals?
I'm sure, yeah. I'm
it'd
sure.
It'd be interesting to see how that would play into this.
They could put it in that chart.
Right. You know, how the trends of how many players were playing were reported versus, you know, from then to... I just thought about that, but...
Yeah, we'd have to look...
Not in total? There's always... On the quarter report, there's a total players for the quarter.
I think it used to be.
There is a line item for it. I don't know if we're keeping it in the data system. It may just be scanned in, so I need to check on that.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be an easy one just to pump in since it's on the quarter report.
We've been recording.
Yeah. Right.
Otherwise, we'd have to go through all the
quarters. You don't mind doing that. Can you do that?
How fun it is.
I wish we could vote to recommend that you do that.
We'll look into that.
Yeah.
You can recommend it.
We can.
You're right.
If you look at the casino gaming, did everybody get a copy of the sheet, by the way?
Yeah.
Does anybody need one? If you, the kind of sad news here, I think, is if you look at casino gaming and lottery, they're all trending, either staying the same or trending upwards, of course. So with casinos, I mean, casinos in 2003, gross amount wagers were about $719 million, $720 million.
Yeah.
Now it's about $765 million. And then there's in the middle there, 2008, where it was $816 million, that's right when the amount that they could bet went up, and then the economy went down, you know, then the economy got poor, and so it really affected them as well. And then same with lottery. If you look at the multi-state, the Powerball, Megaball, I believe started in 2002. Lottery started in 1983, and some of those 1983 numbers I think I saw were, did you print that? What was that for 1983? Is that on the back? Oh, it is. Oh, good. Thanks. That's great. So you look, it's $136 million in 1983, and you can see how much it's grown in 30 years, basically, to where we are now with the two combined at $470 million in 2003, and now it's almost doubled to $706 million in 2013. And I have 2013 numbers because their fiscal year has just ended last quarter, so that's why we've got the 2013 numbers in there. So to me, I don't like when you compare that to bingo. It's not great us trending down as much as we have. 35 We're 35% down in 10 years compared to.
Is this for the whole country, though, right? For the Mega Ball and Power.
Well, no. This is no. This, if you look on that back there, let me explain that. The Colorado Lottery. So that gives each game. You know, the lottery is just what the state lottery put together.
Yeah.
So on this kind of printed. No, we're good. But so there was a, and she did total. Let's take a look at it. But anyway, the multi-state things were calculated. I wanted to put those out there separately so everybody could take a look at what that was and how much money they're taking in.
Okay.
So.
I haven't won any of it. I'm doing my job on buying the ticket, but I know.
So anyway, I guess that kind of, leads into discussions on, what we probably will be talking about with some of the new legislation, things we need to do, because ultimately I think there's just a task at hand where we've got to try to hopefully increase bingo if we can to get it to some levels at some point, or stop the decline as much as possible.
If we look at this chart up even up here still, it looks like it's leveling off the part bottomed out. As far as bingo is.
Hopefully.
It looks like that.
On the
other financial statements we've gotten over the last few quarters, it looks like it had leveled out and the profit had increased. Some of that was due to raffle, but...
The margins had increased,
Even for bingo, though, it had leveled itself out to a certain...
Right, the last 4 years.
A certain disappointing point, but it still had leveled out.
So. Mm-hmm.
Rather than keep going down.
Any questions?
Donnie, I'm just curious. Do you think every dollar that the casinos take? Is a dollar away from bingo? Or how do you view that?
I mean, there's a lot of proven studies out there, studies that have been done, that the typical bingo player is also a slot player. And so I guess maybe not every dollar, but I think it's certainly, it certainly doesn't help. And that gets into Mike, you know, again, there's newspapers we've talked about that, you know, they're driving people up to these casinos and pulling bingo players away. And they do. I mean, I think it drives younger players up there first. I don't think they're going to play bingo. You know, we're not bringing in new players, I don't think. And I think casinos are able to do that. And they're offering $25 or $50 just to show up and free gaming money. And they're kind of training people to gamble for free if they want to. So
I don't think it's a dollar for dollar, but I think, you know, there's a significant, it went down significantly once the casinos started. And I think you can see an even bigger decline geographically. If you're there in the West, it's a bigger decline.
It'll be interesting to pull some of the county data.
It's a bigger decline than it is, let's say, in Aurora, because that's a lot farther away. So. But it definitely went down. There's no doubt about that. It definitely went down, as far as attendance was concerned.
Yeah.
Okay. When did the casinos come into Colorado?
1991?
90 or 91? No, it was after that.
No, I guess it was 93. I think it was 93 or 94, right around there.
I was thinking it was 95.
I think you're right, Clark. I mean, I think it's closer to what Clark is saying.
It might be. I mean, I guess we saw a significant decline. And I think two things affected bingo. The smoking bans had a big effect on bingo, and then the casinos, too. And I think that's about when, you know, everybody started getting involved in the industry and doing some legislation, because the industry was just tanking so fast that that we're trying to do anything we could. And I think that's when electronics came in. And
I think the smoking thing went away, though, pretty fast. But, you know, as far as keeping people left home, they came back pretty fast.
What year was that?
The smoking thing was close to 2000 or 2002.
Like
90s, I think, when they built it. No, it was after that. It was 2004 when Nevada did it, and then a year or so, 2004 or 5, and then a year later, the whole state did it. So I know that because Nevada made us build smoking sticks.
I remember that.
All closed in with big separate things.
It cost, gaming industry, one year
cost $40,000, and then it went away a year later.
Yeah.
Not only that, some neighbor didn't like the noise, and so Arvada came and got one of the finest for them, saying we had to put it in.
Filter.
Yeah.
Which, actually, that would be interesting to look back at. We did have player numbers.
So
there might be a big please with that, because to even look at the smoking.
The quarterly report didn't have player numbers for quite a long time.
Yeah, I think it started in 2006 when we started doing the internal electronics system.
That could be,
so I think it was that year.
It was going to.
We'll look and see if we can get that information. Mm-hmm.
I know you're busy. Okay. The handheld units, the auto dot feature. Somebody had brought up, I think, last meeting about asking questions about, I guess, Secretary of State's feelings about, you know, if there was a possibility with the handhelds at any point to introduce the auto dot feature where players don't have to physically push a button. And I just kind of wanted to bring that up again just to see if you guys had any chance to discuss any of that, or, I mean, that's really... I only asked that because I've been asked two other times now about it in the last 2 months, if there's been any discussions about that.
And to be clear, this is an auto-dub feature, not just a catch-up feature.
Yeah.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah, the catch-up feature is already okay.
Right.
Yeah. I think we can, you know, we can look into it, kind of the legalities around it and what are some of the statutory, maybe constitutional and rules barriers to it. We've been in some good conversations with the AG's office. with some kind of related questions. So we, you know, I think we can look into it. I don't think we probably have a statement to make about it right now.
No, right.
But we can put it on our list of homework.
Okay.
Certainly.
What? Well, the electronics manufacturers also have to modify their, how they work, their software, because they already have the capability to do an AutoDab, but they can't do both.
Yeah, right.
You can't do both. You can't do AutoDab or Ketchup, if you will,
right,
and still be able to enter your number. You can't do both on the electronics at this point in time. You have to choose which software you want to use.
It's either or. Yeah.
You, but it's there if you want to switch it over again, but it does it all of them, right? So it's either Ketchup or it's either, then you can enter your own number.
And can I ask what the kind of logic is behind wanting to make that change? What's the upshot of it?
Well, I think it also goes in line too with, you know, which has been discussed in the past too, is some, you know, a lot of states are moving towards also not even including paper, or some states don't even have paper involved. So I guess it gets that point of what's the point of having paper? Not that that's what kind of starts the whole thing, but it would be nice where people can play additional cards, and if it auto-dobs, they don't have to worry about the machine. So they can, it helps out with sales is one point. So they can buy, you know, three packs of, you know, 3 6-ons and still play those while the machine just dials in and worry about reaching over to it.
Most of the time, Greg, when we have technical problems, it's usually because of cockpit error.
Correct.
Okay. The people pushing the button too many times or pushing it wrong or doing things like that. And so then they... Then they're all screwed up on their machine, and it kind of stops altogether until somebody goes out and takes care of it.
They push the wrong button. This is what I see frequently. Even though it says press, they'll push one of the other buttons on the screen, and so then they call it the machine's not working. So you got to stop everything, go over there and take care of it, and continue.
And that's, I would say, from an electronics point of view, that would be 90% of the technical problems that come up, and that's because the player has pushed it wrong. Yeah. I know there's nobody in here from Darlene, or what's the other guy's name?
Oh, Larry.
Yeah. We had a problem with, I know our church had a problem with a progressive where somebody won bingo and they paid him and everything, and then the caller called it complete, and then the person then pushed his button and had a bingo. He didn't do it in time, and so there was just chaos, as you can imagine, because it was $10,000 or $11,000, right? He lost his share because he didn't push the buttons properly or forgot to push the buttons because he had so much paper he was done. And so that was all that kind of an issue also, if you guys ever entered into that. My understanding is the reason that we originally had to push buttons was when we were trying to get electronics involved in the state, there were people who said it has to be just like paper, so that's why you have to push the buttons.
There's been that interaction.
Yeah. And so that's how that happened. But if you go anywhere else in the world, especially Las Vegas or places like that, it's all auto-dock.
And usually these electronic, most electronic companies have to change their software and get rid of that feature versus, you know, so.
When we see folks come in and they demonstrate their games to us, they always have that feature.
It's
a matter of more customers are coming in and asking about it than what I've seen in the past. So I don't know if they just hear about it, they're moving in state or.
Yeah. But it would solve a few problems, as I said, that customers have. Not the machines, not bingo, but that cockpit trouble.
Is anyone in the audience experiencing that uses electronics?
No, I was just kind of flabbergasted when you said you stopped the game, because if we have somebody that their machine stops working, we don't stop the game at all. I just take their receipt, quickly do a reload, put it in a different machine, and give it back to them.
We do that also, but it's the reason it stopped was not going to cause you to have to go and reset it. All you got to do is push a different button, and it'll reset itself.
If we have to swap out machines, or it depends on where it's at. If it's
towards the end where they could miss a bingo.
Oh, could.
Yeah, we holler at the caller.
Okay.
You need to stop for a second so that customer doesn't lose out on the bingo because of an error in the machine.
Yeah.
But fixing it in real time is not a big problem.
Well, Dan, I mean, I think you pointed to when this stuff initially came through, you pointed probably accurately to the reasons that they made it the way that it is. Yeah, so we can certainly look into it, and I think we already have some decent work done on it.
Sure. Okay.
Okay, 2014 legislation. I know, Greg, you gave a report on task force. We had some pretty open discussions last meeting about all of this, and I think, if you probably want to kind of take the lead on this right now, because I know you guys have been working pretty hard on some items since you've done had that task force in place.
Sure. Yeah, I'll just give you a relatively quick update, and you know, we maybe should have had printouts of this. We did give out the printouts last time we met. There were probably about a dozen items that we're going for to pass legislation. It'll look to pass legislation in the 2014 session to make some changes to the bingo raffle statutes. The message I think this time is similar to last time. I think there are about 10 of these items that are fairly non-controversial and I think move the dial a little bit for folks running bingo around the state. I think most of them are bingo as opposed to raffle, or there are a couple of pull tab things. But we continue to feel really good about those. And again, those came from suggestions from a couple of different places from our task force that we put together. We also have had, you know, suggestions over the years as we meet with you all, as we get phone calls from folks who are having issues. So that's where we came up with this whole list. The couple of potentially controversial items that we mentioned last time were electronic only bingo, which again, that speaks to a little bit, I think, to what you're talking about with the AutoDob feature, in that we've done some research around electronic bingo, so we have some good stuff on that. And then looking at pull tabs in what we're calling alternate venues, you know, like other states do, they have pull tabs in bars or taverns, that sort of thing. So that's what this would look like. Those two potentially controversial items, I guess. Last time we said we were sort of doing some legal research into it. We continue to do that. It's kind of a slow process. Again, we're working with the AG's office to get some of their thoughts as well. They've been really helpful and supportive, but they're fairly complex issues. So we're still TBD, I think, on both of those. We hope that we'd be closer to figuring out if we are yes or no on moving forward with those at this point. I think over the next couple of weeks, we'll have a much better idea of where we are. And then on the, I think those were the two items that I wanted to mention. We've also been able to have some pretty good conversations with some representatives from the gaming industry itself, just to sort of get their thoughts on, you know, moving forward with these, any of the concerns that they had. I think those have been really constructive in the sense that, you know, I think those concerns are going to come out at one point or another, and I think it was really good to hear those to begin with, so that we can try to work to understand their concerns better and to address their concerns so that by the time we get to January and we're putting this legislation on the floor, we feel comfortable that you know, there's going to be support for it, that there aren't going to be any kind of grenades tossed our way that we didn't see coming. So that's kind of where we stand right now. Again, I think we had talked about meeting again in December. The board had talked about meeting again in December. And I think we're sort of building critical mass right now, and I think we should have a much better idea of where we are with those. I mean, we kind of have to because the session is starting in January. So,
Is it Jeff with the lobbyists for the casino industry that you're speaking about?
So we met with Jeff Wiest, and we met with several other representatives. I don't recall the names off the top of my head. But yeah, so we've met with them and had conversations kind of over the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay. All right. I know I had marked in the last meeting the food for volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know you were going to look into that a little bit more. You guys wanted to see the legality of that because we got the constitutional, the remuneration.
Yeah, I think we feel like we're on pretty solid ground with that. And Charlie, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But I think that's pulling some of the definitions that we currently have in rules and making it clear in statute that remuneration, this type of remuneration isn't allowed, and there are a number of things, but the remuneration for recompense for food, because it's non-substantial,
right, it's
de minimis is, I guess, the legal term. Yeah, de minimis wouldn't count as compensation, right? Yeah,
I
remuneration.
Mean, they can always challenge it or say we disagree, but
yeah.
We don't think there's any harm in
yeah.
trying to do that.
Yeah, we feel like we're on pretty solid ground. Is that
we're basically excluding the de minimis food from the insurance.
Right, right. So again, it's one of those. I mean, we you know, it's one of those kind of small wins, but I think. Anything that you can do to help attract volunteers and
sure.
retain volunteers. I mean, that was kind of the point of it.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
oh, sure. Sure. Yeah.
I have a hearing problem. So, you know, I didn't hear everything that
sure.
you said. Were you saying that it is okay if, like, if our workers are working a double session for us to buy their drinks and a hamburger or something?
So great question. I'm glad you asked it. So currently, just to be clear, currently that's not allowed. So you know, that would count as remuneration, I think,
yeah.
as the statute is and the Constitution are currently structured.
Okay.
But what we're looking to do is in this next legislative session incorporate a change into the statute that would allow for that,
that
kind of...
That would allow for
is
that.
It, is that right, Carl?
Yeah.
Not overstepping?
Because I personally have done that. Not, you know, not out of bingo money, but I just... Well, because I have a couple of two or three workers that are very poor, and that can be a problem for them. But you can't do it for three and not do them for all.
Absolutely.
So
yeah. And it's something we've
I'm
heard.
I'm glad you're addressing that.
Yeah, good, good. It's something we've heard, again, from the Runge study. I think we've heard it from the board a number of times as well. You know, there are restrictions that we have to work within, but we feel like this is a
yeah.
comfortable kind of step forward.
Well, and I clearly understand, you know, it's mentioned in the law, the scholarship programs or stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's totally different.
Right.
Buying them a drink.
Buying them a drink or buying them, yeah, piece of pizza. Right. Right. And yeah, just to be clear, though, so that being allowed will be dependent upon any legislation getting passed.
Yeah.
So still
right.
currently
right.
not allowed. Right.
Okay. Then I had a question also. We didn't cover much, but the very first one, event pull tab series, event games.
Yep.
Where this one, that one will cause major issues. Where you talk about limiting the number of, that are played during a game, because there is a big push now where that's transitioning from pull tabs to event tickets.
Sure, sure.
And we're seeing sales rise.
Absolutely.
And so go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think we did have something of a conversation about this last time. I mean, what we're looking to do in statute is. It's really confusing where event pull tabs are placed right now in the statute so that it could be interpreted that they're progressive pull tabs. So we're trying to clear that up. That's kind of the point of this change. From there, I mean, we're going to have to, you know, when we pass this legislation, the next step will be to look at doing rules to support any of the changes that we made or to, you know, make sure that there's clarity there and to make sure we can implement the changes. And really that was sort of made as a note is that we'd look
okay.
at. And that's the kind of thing when we go through our next rulemaking hearing again, that's the kind of feedback we look for. I think we know a decent amount. Our investigators have been out a lot, and they've seen event pull tabs, so they understand them. But getting that kind of context about how they're being used, the kind of numbers that are out there, any difficulties that organizations have faced in running them, that sort of thing. I mean, that's going to help us write good rules around them. That's, you know, by no means set in stone. And I think we heard it from you, Donnie, last time. We heard it from a number of members in the audience. So. I think we kind of know what's going to come at us during the rulemaking
here.
Yeah,
that'll be a killer.
Yeah.
And just
yeah.
that one, if there's any
yeah.
limitation. On
yeah, to be clear, I mean, I think the change we're making there is really more of a clarifying change in the statute. And
yeah.
we wouldn't look to, you know, the any sort of restrictions or requirements or anything really belong in rules
okay.
around the non-statute.
Okay. When you were meeting with Casino, sorry.
Greg, where do you have these listed? Are these items in the material or are they on site?
It's from the last meeting. As I said, I'm happy to provide some copies. We provided copies last time, and maybe we should.
In the dark, saying all
yeah.
the list here, so the association can go
yeah.
ahead and take it to the board and look at what they want to do.
Yeah, and if anybody would like a copy of the things that we're looking at afterwards, I'm happy to print them out. Yeah, maybe we should
Thank
have
you.
Them ready for you. But
it's online.
It's not actually online. No.
No, it's not. When you met with the casinos, did you? Because I know last year there's been lots of discussion over the years about increasing the number of faces or allowing extra units. Has there been any discussion, thoughts about that?
No, I mean, we really stuck to the agenda that we kind of laid out here.
for the task force?
Yeah, right. Yeah, kind of dozen items that we talked about before.
Okay. All right. And I know last meeting, too, there was other, I know you have those items, but we also discussed, which I think there's a big push, and this is where Meredith brought up coupons, advertising, things like that, the ability to do that. Since that meeting, have you had any discussion about, can we open it up a little bit more so we can offer free bingo? I mean, all of our competitors are doing it.
Yeah.
You know, where we can offer, you know, as long as there is a, you know, there's some sort of a paper trail where we can start pulling people in and offer, you know, buy two packets, get one free or something.
Right, right. And if I'm not mistaken, and Shannon and Carla, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, I think that's more of a rules question. And it's something that I think we've identified the things that may need to change in rules to allow for that sort of a thing. I think we need to, A, figure out what the recommendations are, and B, you know, get comfortable with what those might be. Is that accurate?
I think so.
Okay.
The free bingo, I thought the free bingo, that's more of a statutory. I don't think that's rule, is it?
So the,
it's not
the
a statute.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not, it isn't a rule? Okay.
The provisions that I'm familiar with, at least, are you know, you have to sell bingo cards for a set price.
Right.
If you offer a discount, it has to be available to everybody, that
right.
sort of thing.
Right.
And we've done some analysis,
right.
and so
right.
I think it does fit within rules. So I don't think it's.
We got rid of all.
We got rid of
all. That's
all
right.
Cleaned
out.
Yeah.
Right.
It's rule 5, basically 1 through 3. 5A, 1 through 3, and that's going to be referenced in the coupon when we come back.
Okay.
And rule 4.1.5 is the set price.
Right.
Okay.
I have a question about that. Can I just lie to my customers in terms of if I'm telling them they're going to buy two packs and get one free? So if my regular pack price is $6, that would usually cost them $18, $24. So if I just make each pack price in my bookkeeping work to where it equals only the $18, so it's, what, $9 a pack instead? So I'm telling them they're buying two and get one free, but I'm just charging them, you know, $6 for each pack instead of $9 or more, whatever that was up to.
Yeah, so I mean, I think there are a number of examples that are, I don't know if you'd call it lying to your customers, but that are similar to that, where you're giving discounts based on volume, right? So if you buy three packs as opposed to one pack, you're getting a volume discount. And obviously, I mean, you're keeping track of that in your books. I mean, I think that's how I would characterize that sort of a transaction. I mean,
but am I allowed
as
to
long
like
as
advertise
you,
it like that? Can
as
I
long
say,
as you offer everybody the same
that's,
deal.
Yeah, that's the
everybody point. Has to have the same deal. You can't just do it for some and not others.
Yeah.
So if you essentially you're saying two for one night,
yeah.
right?
And everybody gets the same deal.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
that's
I
fine.
I think if you have that posted,
yeah.
you know, and that's how you the transactions go that night, that's not an issue. But it has to be posted, and everybody that comes in has to have that same capability to get that.
Yeah.
Right.
We wouldn't recommend lying to your government.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems we already have.
Yeah. I think that, yeah. No, and where I was discussing about this law is it'd be nice to advertise in the newspaper and say, two for one, you know, come in, bring this coupon, two for one, or if you're a new player, so maybe attract some new players in a certain whatever the market is that we're going after,
right.
versus having to offer that to everybody, where if somebody brings that in, submits it, right now that's not legal.
Yeah.
Unless
that's
the homeowner
pays
for
it.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. And I know, do we have any other questions on any of that legislation? This would probably be good. I guess we get copies after this if you want to stick around and grab a copy.
Of the little
the
table?
Yeah, that you handed out last week. Yeah, and all I had for my notes was what we just discussed, too, is I know that was discussion last time was discussing more faces, kind of like that was on last year, which I know there are some potential legal issue ramifications out of that we were worried about. Then the advertising, free bingo, and then I thought somebody brought up also the ability to offer different prices for progressives rather than having a dollar per sheet.
be able to do something where they can do something to increase it. I mean, it's kind of like Powerball's down to $2 or something where they can do a $2 sheet.
Hmm. Oh, you I think the rule is a dollar minimum. I mean, you could charge more than that if you do it from the very beginning.
As long as you do it from the beginning, right?
Right. As long as you do it from the very beginning and you're advertising that, right. You can charge whatever you
want. But then I know there's people and I'm not seeing necessarily going up, but whether that has to be set at a dollar. But not a big deal to me. It's just somebody brought that up, I thought. And,
at the moment, it's a dollar.
It's a dollar minimum, right?
Per face. Yeah.
Per face. And I don't know if they'd want to do less for any reason.
Less?
Yeah, I don't know why they would, but
right.
I wouldn't.
I don't know. You never know. Something
right.
Strange things.
Oh, I know.
That's one of the things that this marketing thing should help get people better on board as a group, you know, of marketing properly rather than strange things.
Okay. Anybody from the audience have any other things? Okay. Well, I guess so, Greg, are you going to try to have something put together then by the next meeting? I think we had it set for December 11th.
Yeah. December 11th, yeah, that's right. That's the right date. Yeah, I mean, I think we'll have, I think for the most part, our agenda is fairly well set, and I think we feel good about the 10 or so items that we have on there. Those two, I think, we'll have much clearer, and we'll be able to talk probably more in depth about,
right.
You know, are we moving forward with them? What do they look like?
And so you'll have legislators that you're going to work on?
We will seek out sponsors for legislators.
Okay. And this will be, hopefully it will get passed fast. If it gets passed. So it would be, how do you say it, where it's in effect immediately rather than having to wait till January?
I think that's a detail, you know, we'd have to look at that. That's an important detail, Dan. Yeah, so there are a number of options when you pass a bill. It can be effective immediately. It can be effective.
What's that called, Corky?
There's a safety clause in it. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Or, you know, for instance, with the progressive raffle bill that was passed this last year, it had an effect. Has an effective date of January 1st, 2014, right. And that was to give us time to put in place rules, to put in place a system so that everybody can report on those raffles. Right. So we'd have to look at depending on what we move forward with, if there are implications, resource time implications
right.
for when we make that effective. You know, obviously, we're balancing the interest of getting this out to the community as quickly as possible, but making sure we can regulate it effectively.
Well, also on this, too, I think it's a good idea to talk to CCBA, you know, as you're going on this stuff, too. And, I mean, just because, I know, Corky and Rich, you know, heading that now and everything, and there's quite, you know, hall owners, and, I mean, I think there's probably 40 charities that are members. I don't know, Corky.
Yeah, I don't know that's true. Well, I was going to say, as soon as you get that to us, then we can take a look at that to our position. So, we want to be able to go out here and talk to you about this way before.
Okay.
Are you talking about referendum? Or?
No, not right now. Okay. And then, okay, so the next meeting date gets set for December 11th, 10 a.m. And that's all I've got. Anybody else have anything? Anybody want to make a motion to adjourn the meeting? It doesn't really matter because we don't have that.
We just have to get up and walk out.
Well, we got a better turnout, which is great. So thank you for coming. So keep telling. We'd love to get more and more people there. So thanks, everybody, for coming.
Next meeting is December 11th.
And December 11th.
December 11th, 10 a.m. Same room.
Same room.
We'll get set.
Meeting's adjourned.
Yeah.
Okay.